Hi, and thanks for listening to Advocate Radio.
I'm Christina Hughes-Babb, the managing editor, and I'm here today with my fellow editors, Rachel Stone and Emily Toman, and we have a special guest with us today. It's John Slate. He is the city archivist, but he pointed out to us a few minutes ago that he is not here as a city representative, but as an author of a new book about Dallas parks, which he's going to talk to us a little bit about today. Now, John, why don't you just start by talking a little bit about what the book covers?
Well, the concept of the book is to celebrate the historic and more interesting, I guess, parks of Dallas. And that does not necessarily mean that there aren't other, that if it isn't in the book, it's not that it isn't important. It is just that I'm concentrating on the ones with more colorful stories and really fascinating historical backgrounds, and also concentrating on those parks that have historic architecture in them.
Why don't you give us one example of a story behind a park that you think people might find interesting?
Well, I think one of the more fascinating parks is a park that is actually not that arresting in visually. It's a park in West Dallas called Hattie Rankin Moore. And Hattie Rankin Moore was a lady from Houston who ended up in Dallas, and she was connected with, I believe, her father's church and other churches in the area, and was very concerned about the plight of the disadvantaged youth of West Dallas. Mm-hmm. And when she had heard back in the 30s about the rough background of the Barrow Gang, which included, of course, Bonnie and Clyde, but also that included a lot of Clyde Barrow's associates, and most notably a fellow by the name of Raymond Hamilton. And Raymond Hamilton also came from West Dallas and was a pretty rough guy, and ended up going to Huntsville in an unrelated to the Barrow Gang event, but and ended up going to the electric chair. Well, Miss Hattie was very concerned that maybe he wouldn't have gone into a life of crime if he had had a place to play, if he had had recreation that you know Bobby and Susie have across the river. And so she worked very hard to create what are now considered after-school programs and church-related programs, church-sponsored programs. But she also encouraged the Methodist Church to help purchase a small park in West Dallas that was subsequently named after Miss Hattie.
Do you think that principle might apply today? I think you said something earlier to the effect of when you save a park, you help save the neighborhood around it. Do you think that still applies today?
Absolutely.
Hattie's theory.
Hattie's theory, and also it's an earlier theory from earlier in the 20th, in the early 20th century, the City Beautiful movement, which I discuss in the book briefly, was a concept that improving the living conditions for people helps alleviate crime and poverty. And the City Beautiful movement was pushed by Dallas's early city planner, George Kessler, and he very much believed that parks and recreation were important for the development of children and all of, and adults. And if you have something for people to do, they have less time on their hands to spend doing less productive things like committing crimes.
Right.
Are there any specific qualities of parks today that should, based on the history that you've looked at and some of these mentioned in the book, what are some of the major qualities a park should have to really do that?
Well, I think rec programs are pretty important, and places for children to go after school and in their off time when they're not in school. My favorite example relating to that is the what was called Trinity Play Park, which is down off of Corinth Street, if you know where the Longhorn Ballroom is. It's right around that area. And that was called the Cotton Mills area. There were cotton mills, and the children of the people who worked in the cotton mills didn't have anywhere to go. And so Trinity Play Park was created about 1915. And it was a place, it had showers, it had playground equipment, it had a sort of what you would consider today a rec center, and supervised games and crafts and things for kids to do. And it was a really big success. In fact, the children on the front, on the cover of the book, are running a little foot race.
Oh, yeah, it looks like they're at a field day or something, the cover
indeed.
Of your book.
And I think that that speaks a lot to how important it is to have activities for children. And it also goes hand in hand with the development of the recreation movement, which was also developed right around the same time. There was a gentleman named Joseph Lee who is renowned in recreation circles, people who study recreation as an academic study, who pretty much proved that children need to be outside, children need to play.
So it's not just the green space, but it's sort of the activity that it encourages.
Yeah.
You've got some really interesting stories about Oak Cliff Parks in here. The pools are kind of what are amazing. Lake Cliffs Pool and Kid Springs Park Pool.
Those are.
Do we still have pools?
No, and the Kid Springs Park Pool is not going to open this year. But
the story of Lake Cliffs Pool is sort of a sad one because it was a really important pool. It was one of the earliest city pools, and it was wildly popular. And in the late 40s, I don't know the exact story behind
it. Huge.
Yeah, it was gigantic.
Oh, there are people canoeing in this picture.
Like,
that
is
unbelievable. It looks like a lake.
Mm-hmm.
It really was closer to like a little lake.
Right.
And I don't know the circumstances why it was shut down in the late 40s, or excuse me, late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very popular pool, and lots of people who grew up in Oak Cliff still remember the pool very fondly.
Dallas has 23,000 park acres, more than 23,000, and 400 individual parks. So we're doing pretty well.
Well, I think there's a lot of exciting things happening in parks today. Of course, the Woodall Rogers Deck Park will be exciting to see as it develops.
Yes.
And some of the urban parks, which have become a focus. The Main Street Garden Park is a good example of the newer types of park development that are going on, and that's exciting because Dallas is sometimes faulted for not being green enough.
Right.
And I think when you see the statistics that we have 400 parks, I don't really think
that's what I was kind of thinking. I saw that and I said it doesn't seem quite like we have that much green space.
Mind you, some of these parks are very tiny. Like if you go to East Dallas, some of the parks that are in those neighborhoods off of Junius and those areas, those were very tiny parks when they were created, but they were also very tiny neighborhoods, too.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think the neighborhoods sort of, I know that the city maintains the parks, but neighborhoods sort of adopt parks and become fond of certain parks and kind of...
That's definitely true in Far North Dallas with Twin Lakes Park. I mean, it's like totally maintained by the Highlands North neighborhood. And
yeah,
that's a beautiful, beautiful area. I mean, it's
well, that's
and it's really not much of a park. It's just lakes, one on each side Campbell Road, and really, I mean, that's all it really needs. And people fish in there every single day. I mean, it's really, they have tons of ducks. The neighborhood's like mascot is a duck.
Well, there are lots of wonderful partnerships around the city with parks and friends groups. and with neighborhood associations that have, as you say, adopted some of these parks, and they're able to do many things that the city can't do with its tight budgets.
I'm going to put all of the information about how to get your book on along with this blog post. I did want to bring up one other thing that we found out about you, Mr. Slade, that you you were actually in a movie. Can you tell us what your role was and what the movie was called?
Okay, I guess I've been busted.
Robert Wolanski, thank you, from The Observer, wrote about this, so that's where we saw it.
Well, Robert, who followed me by a couple of years in school at UT Austin, is well familiar with our friend Rick Linklater, who has made a number of great movies, but he started out with his low-budget independent called Slacker. And while he was doing that, he and a lot of us were involved in a very fun group called the Austin Film Society, which brought together people who wanted to see and obtain films to look at that we couldn't see in mainstream theaters.
That sounds neat.
As a result of that friendship, Rick asked me if I'd come down and audition for a part. And that's basically how I wound up in it.
In the movie Slacker. And what did you play?
Well, I play a conspiracy buff who cannot stop pestering people. First, it's a poor woman in a bookstore, in a half-price bookstore, who is having this inane, one-sided conversation. And in the very next scene, he actually walks into the next scene, which are two fellows who are trying to work on their automobile. And this conspiracy buff guy, once again, just walks up and has this mindless, rambling, one-sided conversation about conspiracy theories.
We're going to have to revisit this movie, because I vaguely remember. But, and, you know, which is interesting, because you happen to know a lot about a case that is frequently a subject of conspiracy theories, the JFK assassination. And I'm sure you probably get tired of people asking you about that, but you have access to all those files as the archivist, don't you?
Well, as a matter of fact, fate would turn out, I'm actually in charge of the Dallas Police Department's Kennedy-related files, and the 404 photographs from the collection have now gone online at the portal to Texas History at the University of North Texas.
Wow.
Which I invite everyone to come and take a look at. And hopefully next year we'll be able to show everyone the entire paper series of the collection, which is about 11,000 documents. And
a little light reading.
Yes, yes.
For next summer, thanks.
Probably no smoking guns in there, but lots of fascinating firsthand and primary materials relating to the Kennedy assassination.
Great. Well, maybe at a future date you'll come by and talk to us more about that. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us on your day off. We really appreciate having you. And thanks to all of you out there for listening to Advocate Radio.